everybody.
Hi, friends. Well, from Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on the show, Dan, we're going to be talking about magical underwear.
Oh, it is
Mormon underwear.
The beautiful Mormon temple garment, which...
It's not which, beautiful.
It's, well, maybe not. Beautiful is the wrong word. Sexy is what I would go with. Like,
it's not like sexy.
Devastatingly hot.
All right. Anyway,
we will have a full description for you, and a discussion of what it all means.
Well, and the reason we're bringing it up, because we have talked about Mormon garment in the past.
Oh, sure.
Is there's a discussion happening within Mormonism right now. The leadership is like, you guys got to be wearing your garments, and people are like, but we don't want to. And we're going to talk about that. So
yeah.
Because it's really, we talked about it somewhat recently, but there's been some developments. So
there have been some developments.
Yeah.
hint, nobody wants to wear them. Okay.
All right. Well, but first we have some, news stuff that happened this week.
Yeah.
In fact, some stuff from Texas, Dan.
Uh-oh.
A wonderful story.
Danger.
About some Texan nuns who are I think these are like real Texans, these ladies, Dan.
Okay.
They are defying the Vatican. They're standing up to their bishop. They're seeking a restraining order against the bishop.
Whoa.
They have wild allegations after he had wild allegations about their mother superior, whatever, the Reverend Mother Teresa Agnes Gerlach, who he says had broke a vow of chastity through phone conversations with a priest at another monastery. The Reverend Mother has denied the accusations and was dismissed last year after the Vatican sided with the priest, or the bishop, rather.
Of course they did.
And she's like, this is just patently not true. And so the Vatican, has basically ordered the monastery of the Most Holy Trinity, which is located in Arlington, Texas, to basically completely turn itself over to, the local, diocese. And they're like, oh, no. We're actually held by a nonprofit that nobody saw any reason. None of y'all ever asked to have any representatives on our board.
Whoopsie.
Our board controls the property and they don't like you guys either. And so fuck you guys.
Wow.
And they are... they're filing for this restraining order, not only against... the bishop, but against the entire diocese, basically. They're saying,
we got to keep these Catholics out of our nunnery.
Let's see. This is their statement. They're saying that the monastery has suffered continued attack and abuse from Bishop Olson in an ugly attempt to seize control of our governance, finances, and life. We pray that the Bishop of Fort Worth will repent of his abuse, apologize for it publicly as well as to us in person, and make due reparation to the monastery. Until he does so, neither he nor his delegates are welcome on our property.
Wow. Wow.
These are some feisty nuns, and they're not taking it anymore.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sure that they know this because we're talking about men, and specifically Catholic men, and more specifically Catholic men who are in charge, but they're never getting an apology. That is, That is never happening in the world.
Well, they are suing the diocese, and yeah. they're seeking at least $100,000 in monetary relief. Nice. And because, I mean, I don't know everything that this lawsuit is, you know, involves and whatnot, but like their stance is this bishop is maligning our Reverend Mother, right?
Yeah.
That he's basically speaking lies, right?
I want to know, did the other priest that was supposedly having this phone sex with this mother superior,
I know.
Did he get in any trouble at all?
Any trouble? I don't know. That's not mentioned. And also, it doesn't mention if he's like corroborated or denied, you know,
right.
himself. Like, surely this, you're right. There's in this story, there's an existence of another priest. And it would be kind of interesting to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
I mean, is he as confused? Is he just what do you mean? Like, we're friends. We go back, way back. There's no phone sex.
And if there is phone sex, that's just, I can see why the bishop would be mad, because only the men in Catholic clergy are allowed to have illicit sexual acts and stuff. Not the lady folk. They're supposed to be pristine and pure and perfect. Yeah. But the men folk, it's like, you know, it's expected that, you know, they're gonna falter a little bit here and there. We just shuffle them off to somewhere else and it's fine.
Yeah. Where else are you gonna put a bunch of nuns?
Right? Oh my God, that's amazing. That is, I love it. Just hold up. You know what? Someone needs to talk them into like just giving up entirely on the whole endeavor and turning it into a lesbian sex cult.
No.
Keep the place.
I got onto their website. These are some very, very serious Carmelite nuns.
Yeah.
And they feel it's really important to spend your day in prayer, according to their yeah. website, because the world needs a lot of prayer right now.
Right.
If you believe in prayer, I agree with them. Right?
Right.
Like,
but if you do believe in prayer, you have not paid literally any attention. If you've been praying this whole time and you still see how things are going, at some point, don't you just turn around and go, this isn't working? Okay, fine.
Maybe if you're not a Carmelite nun.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to take us to another very Catholic place,
oh,
which is the country of España.
Ooh.
Beautiful Spain, known for its, I don't know, warm climate and lovely
tapas.
Yeah,
I think of absolutely. Rioja and tapas when I think of Spain.
Man, you can't go wrong. Spanish wine is delicious. Get some sangria and paella and just enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though. Spain, we talked a while ago about the fact that I think this was just last year. Spain's ombudsman had a report that mm-hmm. basically concluded that something like 440,000 adults in Spain have probably suffered some form of sexual abuse by someone connected to the Catholic Church.
Jesus.
440,000.
That's fucking,
that is not a small number.
No.
And you know, there were some recommendations which I assumed would never be followed through with. However, Felix Bolaños, who is the minister of the presidency and justice of Spain,
mm-hmm.
Has decided that there will be compensation that basically the state is going to support the victims of this and mm-hmm. they are going to be given, like, the state, the government is going to give free legal assistance for all victims.
Hmm.
And it will like make sure like there will be steps taken for prevention. And there will be, and they are saying that there will be compensation provided by the church. Now, the church is saying, we don't agree to this. But it looks like Spain's government is just going to fucking ram it down their throats.
Good for them. No,
we're not going to do any jokes about.
No. Just keep going.
But yes, the government of Spain is literally. It was funny because Spain's bishops after that report came out, Spain's bishops apologized for the abuses, and then disputed the number of victims, and now they're saying. No, I don't. I don't believe we want to give any money to all of these people.
We've apologized sincerely to all the victims. However, we don't believe there are as many as we'd like to adjust this number down, please.
We feel a little bad about it. We hate that we were caught. That sucks. I don't enjoy that one bit.
Yeah.
We don't wish to do this, but it looks like, Spain, the country, is just going to be like, fuck yeah, we're going to make sure that there's some compensation and that there is some justice.
Good.
Like nothing can compensate a person.
Yeah.
An amount of money isn't compensation for the lifetime of issues. That will follow a lot of these victims.
Right.
But it's about holding the church to account. It's about saying never again. And it's about saying, you know, and it's about doing something that will hurt enough that maybe the church will actually like be like, we got to stop this the second we see it happening instead of we got to move that guy somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Any other organization would be completely shut down by this point.
Right?
If they had this kind of record on this issue, right? Like completely 100% shut down.
Yeah.
Its assets seized, sold off.
I mean if you believed what right-wing Americans say when you start to talk about child sex trafficking, if you just use those words, if you just say child sex trafficking, they're talking about executions. They're talking about getting their guns. They're talking about blah, blah, blah. And then you say by clergy and they're like, whoa, 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 calm down. It's probably not ourselves.
Yeah.
Everybody just back off a little bit. I didn't know we were talking about those guys. It's okay when they do it. Because
they're good guys. They're good guys.
These are good men who have just faltered a little bit. You know, there's a lot of pressure on them. You shouldn't be. The devil, you gotta be nice.
The devil made them do it.
Right?
All right. Well, it's crazy town, Dan. Well, let's see. Well, I want to move to a story that I have about some university student protests. That are ongoing.
Those are in the news lately. That's a high profile news bit.
It is indeed, Dan. However, the university in question, the Amir Kabir University of Technology in Tehran, may not be the one you're thinking of.
That is maybe a few miles away from Columbia.
Amir Kabir University.
don't just make up names of universities. It's not the abracadabra, the bibbidi bobbidi boo university.
I'm sorry, I'm not making this up. Where students are protesting through boycott of classes, the school's crackdown on hijabs and hijab enforcement. Okay. Cracking down on women who are not wearing hijabs, I guess is right. the right way to say that. Okay. And not only women, actually, in this whole thing, they held up a bunch of male students who were wearing T-shirts and short-sleeved shirts and some sports attire, which they did not feel was appropriate either to go to college, to go to university. You need to be dressing nicer. So it's a little less the hijab police and a little more the fashion police as well.
The fascist fashion police. Oh, I almost killed him, you guys. I almost killed him.
This is pretty bold. I mean, it's Iran, so the students, you know, they're not doing big sit-ins, right? That probably wouldn't go over terribly well. So the way that they're pulling this off is boycott. They're just not showing up to class.
Which if that's what that is, I did a lot of boycotting in my day.
Hopefully you had good issues that you were trying to
stand up
for, Dan.
Like it would be more fun to not go to class.
Yeah.
That was my big issue that I was fighting for.
Apparently the morality police had banned over 200 students from entering the campus. They've set up face scanning systems at the gates to enter the campus. And students are being denied entry if their appearance fails to adhere to the new hijab laws or the intensified hijab laws. I don't think they're new in any way. I guess, and this kind of slipped past me, I didn't hear about this as it was happening. There is the Noor project, that's NOOR project in Iran right now. That is the part of the big crackdown. Because, you know, we talked about it, good Lord, I guess a couple years now ago, Mahsa Amini, the woman who was arrested for improper hijab was the what she was accused of. And then she ended up dying in custody. Right. You remember this story? And
of course I do.
It led to mass protests across the country. Well, the government has finally decided that I think they've been trying to let it sort of die down slowly. And they've decided that now is the time to go back to how things were, right? To go back to strict enforcement. And this is a part of it. And these students, they're just not having it. And they've been able to organize on they have an independent newsletter on Telegram that they disseminate information on. And I mean, Iran's in a very interesting place right now. And the people are tired. They're really tired of that regime.
Yeah. And
it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few years.
Yeah. Who knows?
What the future holds for the poor Iranians. The people living there. It's really awful.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take us now to your old stomping grounds.
What?
The fine state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where only good so things
fine.
Happen.
It's such a fine place.
If you and I mention Oklahoma, it means something great has gone on, is what I'm thinking.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true either.
I mean, their license plate uses just say Oklahoma is okay. That's for real.
I know. There was that whole song from that one show. Anyway, do you know where the word the term okay comes from? Do you know what that originally? We shouldn't get into this. It stands for all correct, and you can look that up and figure out why that's a thing.
Look at you.
Anyway, there have been some laws passed in Oklahoma. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if this was true when you were there. But in Oklahoma, they believe in the Bible, goddammit. They believe in the Bible, not just in your home, but everywhere.
They love
which is why when the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
And corporal punishment of children in schools is legal there.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds about right.
which is astounding to me. But you know,
you didn't grow up in Oklahoma.
No,
if that astounds you, you did not grow up in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but you grew up there, but it was like, you know, 35 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever. And like, they've had enough time to sort this out.
I don't know. I've been back. Things don't seem to change. It's the same place, really. Unless, I mean, it's the same place, Dan, but with more meth.
More? Really?
Or actually with meth. Opioids. And opioids. I don't want to joke about opioid epidemic, but anyway.
Well, what you're saying is that there are some happy people in Oklahoma, and I approve of, I love that. So, yeah, here's the thing. There has, of late, been one exception to the rule of teachers can hit the children, and that exception is that there's a carve-out that exempts students with, quote, the most significant cognitive disabilities. So I suppose that's a good thing that somebody is spared from this. And the idea being that, like, if they lack the ability to process why someone is hitting them, then they don't get it. Then they can't be hit. Obviously, I think anyone who's studied even a little bit of child psychology knows that, like, any amount of hitting, like, they all, none of them have the ability to really understand what's going on. And that's just some fun trauma for you to deal with later.
Spoiled children, Dan, who aren't getting beat. So spoiled.
I mean, I got beat and I turned out okay. Is what all of the traumatized people say all the time.
As they look around at Oklahoma. And go, yeah, it clearly works.
Yeah, it's obviously
look a good at our thing. Great state.
Look at how well we're doing. I wonder why everyone's on meth. That's weird.
Sorry, Oklahomans. But you know.
You guys know.
And it's from sort of one of your own who hasn't lived there in a long time, but.
But you still have your family still there.
They sure are.
All right. So last year. Republicans wanted to broaden the exemption so that it applied to all students with disabilities. I don't know why it's like in their minds, it's like, well, don't be mean to the kids who are disabled. Only the fully able-bodied, able kids should be hit, should be beaten. But apparently that's what they were going to do. And they thought it would pretty much sail through, which is good. I would be okay with that. Oh, no. They ran into some opposition, and I think that's astounding. There was a State Rep Jim Olson who did cite Proverbs 13:24, which is the spare the rod, spoil the child thing.
Right.
There a bunch of lawmakers. We're just absolutely astoundingly opposed to like hitting fewer kids.
I want to, and I don't want to hear what they have to say about this.
Well, like, here it comes.
Oh God,
you're getting it whether you want it or not. This is from State Rep Shane Jett, who said this effectively. We're taking a tool that has been in the hands of parents and in the hands of schools to maintain discipline, and we're removing it from the parents' prerogative and saying, we, Big Brother, the state of Oklahoma, knows what's best for your child, and we're removing an entire motivational tool from discipline in the classroom.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yes, you know what? It's your job at some point to say, we, the state of Oklahoma, know what's best for your child. But like, what you have to do that job properly is know what's best for the child. Like, there's a whole wealth of knowledge at this point about that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, none of the useful bits of knowledge come from a 2,000-year-old book.
Right.
That older does not that. Apply to modern society.
Yeah.
Yes, good sorry.
Lord.
2,000 to 4,000. Two to 3,000-year-old book.
Yeah. Well, great.
So stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oklahoma, you're okay.
Keep beating those kids, you guys. It's
something is not okay in Oklahoma.
We'll make them perfect one of these days. Maybe beat them so hard.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a fascinating place.
You can't beat goodness into a kid. That's a fact.
But you can sure try.
Well, you can make you feel a lot better, and they'll probably shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because they shut down. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. Well, an interesting little poll went out, a little study, checking in with the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Don't give them that. Don't say they're just the Mormons. It's just the Mormons.
I want to also be clear which one we're talking about. We've talked about that there's more than one. Right.
Okay.
Mormon sect. And we're talking about the downtown church, the ones with the temples everywhere.
The Brighamites.
Where they do a thing where they think where they marry people for time and all eternity, Dan.
Yeah. This is that is such a bizarre phrase that I grew up with, so I thought it was normal, but like that's not a normal thing to say.
For time. But,
when you get married, the word time in this case just means like that's the part that means till death do you part.
Mm-hmm. That's time.
And then we're going to tack on, just a few extra years, like forever.
Yeah. Marriage forever with all your kids attached to you forever.
Somehow.
And their
kids. It doesn't make sense.
Well, they're born into the covenant, Dan.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Anyway,
you get all sealed, automatically sealed to your parents. If your parents are already married when you're born, right?
Yeah. If you're not
automatically,
bastard.
You're automatically sealed to them. Yeah, that's true. Boy, I wonder how many times that's happened. Where somebody, it's actually the milkman's kid, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so this is a thing. They believe it. It's really important to Mormons. It might be one of the most important things to Mormons, right? They fucking love this shit. There's this whole problem with same-sex marriage.
Right? Okay.
And in large part, this is probably why, I was going to say this is probably why the Mormon Church hasn't come around on the topic of same-sex marriage. But the real reason is they're still led by a bunch of old white men. Who have not caught up with
times.
And
the oldest and whitest men. Literally, like, on a scale of old and of white, they are all the way to the end, to the extreme end of that spectrum.
Well, anyway, some researchers wanted to get a sense of, like, what do Mormons actually think about maybe adapting the temple ceremony so that same-sex couples could get married, right? And so they asked, and it's not surprising. Most Mormons strongly disagree with that idea, right?
They don't.
However, it's and this is a strange thing to say, but it's only in sort of the 55 to 65% range that strongly disagree. Okay. There's the disagrees, and they're like around 12 to 16-17%. The way they reported the numbers was really weird, and so that's why there's kind of these weird ranges that I'm kind of guessing at based on this graph.
So
that's interesting, because that leaves your somewhat disagrees, which seem like you could win these people over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're neither agrees nor disagrees, and then all of the agrees, and that number if you have your like 15 plus your 60-ish, right? We're looking at like 75% of the church is against it. And 25% of the church either could probably come around or is already over there saying, yeah, this is a good idea. Which is kind of astounding, right?
Yeah, if you know Mormonism, that's astounding.
Yeah.
I think if you don't know Mormonism, that could be like a horrifically low number. But if you know Mormonism, fair, and you know the way their brains work, and especially when it comes to the temple,
yeah,
where they don't believe that it should ever change, and when you point out that the temple ceremony has changed like a gazillion times, they're like, I don't think so.
Even in their own lifetime, right? Yeah. They'll say it should never change, and it's changed multiple times. If you're over, like, if you're like 50 or 60, it's changed multiple times in your life since you've been going, right? And they've
that change doesn't count. That was a good change. That was all right. We shouldn't change. It is a sacred ordinance, and needs to be unchanging. It's the word of the Lord.
Yeah,
that made it. So yeah, 25%, not too shabby.
Not too shabby. I'm being pretty generous with that because it does include some somewhat disagrees, but that's actually kind of a small number, only about 5% somewhat disagreed.
Okay.
And again, just sort of in the idea of like, well, if you only somewhat disagree, there's some, you could probably with the right explanation be brought around, right?
That's a good point. But even if you get rid of those ones, yeah, one in five are kind of
still pretty good
on the plus side
for a very conservative church. And you're talking about one of their most sacred things. And the thing is, like, if I put myself sort of in that like Mormon headspace, right, which is kind of hard to do these days, but like if I really just kind of like think about like the temple and the temple ceremony and blah, 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 like, I do have a hard time imagining how they'd pull it off in sort of like a rewriting of everything. Right.
Yeah.
Like it starts to get kind of difficult. Like you have to bring in like you'd have to bring in new characters in the temple play. Right. Like, I'm not entirely sure how you would do it, but it would be a big rewrite. Right.
You got to put Steve in. You got to get Adam and Steve.
Yeah. You got Steve. You got Nancy, you know,
Rhonda.
Rhonda.
I don't know why Rhonda is the most lesbian name to me,
but it is. Yeah, you got,
sorry, Rhondas.
But like, you know, like, and it would be a big heavy lift, but it's one that feels like they need to figure out in some way, right? It feels like they're just going to have to figure it out, or else they're going to just sort of continue to like wallow over in the corner and just continue to keep losing so many members. Right.
Yeah. Listen, society at large has figured it out, mm-hmm, which means if we go by past precedent, that it'll only take the church another 20 something years.
Yeah.
And then they'll figure it out.
We might see it in our lifetimes. there were some interesting, and I don't know how good of a study this was. Like, I read through sort of their own admissions of like where they felt like their weak spots were. And I was like, oh, all right. I get it. But it's interesting to see that there is a decent number of people within the church that are like, yeah, we should do this. But then they did ask the question of, do you think this will happen? And those numbers aren't terribly good. It jumps up quite a bit of like, yeah, this is never going to happen. People are really like, it was only sort of the most delusional, of the Mormons who were like, yeah, it's likely. It's
there you go.
Yeah. So,
all right. I'm going to tell us a story. Everybody sit down and I'm going to tell you all a story. And the reason that I'm saying it like that is because this story is about someone telling kids a story.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
We actually talked about this. This is the story of Dominic Thrasher, who was a guy who wrote a children's book and went and read it to some pre-K students at the St. Joseph Worker School. And it was fine. There was nothing controversial about the book. It was just a book called, what was it called? The Adventures of Cece and the Sheriff, who are both dogs, I think.
Hmm.
And judging by the cover art, which I'm looking at now, it's terrible. But that's just okay. Me being judgy about the art. I'm sure the book is fine. Nobody had any complaints at all about the content of the book. However, apropos of nothing, Father Tom Held, who is the pastor of St. Joseph the Worker Church, came out the next day or something, like immediately thereafter at some point, and with an apology. Do you remember this? There was an apology to the community for letting a gay man talk to the children.
Oh, God.
Now, he didn't say that. He said, recently a guest who does not represent the values of our Catholic faith read to our pre-K children as part of blah, 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 blah. And, like, that's dumb.
Wow.
That's really dumb.
Yeah.
But, you know, we report on shit like that all of the times. That's sort of bread and butter stuff. It's to be expected, I think. What wasn't to be expected and what I didn't see coming is that the community was like, the fuck you say, and got real, real mad at Pastor Held.
Oh.
And, like, there was uproar, and, like, they boycotted the school for a bit. And what? They applied significant and continual pressure.
Wow.
On the diocese and on the school. Meanwhile, the diocese was not handling it well at all and not doing a good job at all. And you know, they were just sort of like, well, and finally, it was so much pressure that they recently announced that Pastor Held, that Father Held, has resigned.
Wow.
They actually got him out.
Wait, now, what was the sound? What was the noise? What was the sound again of a bunch of priests trying to figure out what to do?
Oh, I think we all know what that sound is.
So dumb.
That's exactly what it is. They were so dumb about it. And I wasn't going to do this story until I read the following quotation, which is from the diocese announcement of Father Held being summarily excusing himself from the priesthood, okay, or from the job anyway.
Right. Oh, he's keeping the priesthood.
I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that he won't be working there anymore. And here's what the diocese had to say. And if this isn't, I'll let you guys judge for yourself. The division, lack of charity, and the wounds caused by the division in the St. Joseph the Worker Parish community has brought deep sadness to the Lord Jesus.
Oh.
You guys are mean and you made baby Jesus cry.
Oh, poor baby Jesus.
It was like, that is such a bullshit, like, very clear. You guys are just so mean. Just, I can't believe that you guys did this. It has brought deep sadness to the Lord Jesus. Like, did he tell you that? Did he come to you and say, hey, this makes me so sad? He goes on to say, especially when we are living in the light of the resurrection we celebrated on Easter Sunday, Jesus weeps when he sees division and disunity in the body of Christ, his church.
That's this is still, oh my God, this guy.
Wow, it's amazing. Like, the lack of responsibility taken is breathtaking. There is no apology. Just fine. He's gone. Are you happy? You made Jesus cry. I hope you're happy. They literally said, you made Jesus cry. That's literally what they said. That's not a joke. That's the literal thing that they said.
It's his favorite priest.
Oh my God.
You guys wrecked everything.
So that is amazing. So yeah, no apology at all, or anything like that. No admission of any kind of anything problematic on their end at all. Just you guys are so mean that you made our priest leave. I hope you're proud of yourselves. Jesus is crying.
That's amazing.
Oh, friends. All right. With that, if you would like to make Jesus cry, you can write into us. Podcast at thankgodimatheist.com is the address there.
Or you could call and leave us a voicemail. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. Stick around. There's more show coming up.
Well, Frank,
Dan,
one of my favorite names in all of Christian nationalism is a guy named, and this just sounds like a summer camp prank to me, Dutch Sheets.
Yeah, that's where you fold in the undersheet or the top sheet. So your feet can't go to the bottom.
That's just short sheeting it. If you want it to be Dutch, then you have to put a bunch of wooden shoes at the bottom so that when you put your feet in, you'd slam them on the wooden shoes. Anyway, well, that's called a Dutch.
Short sheeting is like the politically correct
term. But it is called.
To be kind colloquially, to the Dutch. To be kind to the Dutch.
Yeah, it's called Dutch Sheets. Anyway, Dutch Sheets is actually a person, apparently, according to him. And he is a right-wing shitbag. And I guess this is yet another, I just need to keep reminding everybody that like the literal goal on the right wing right now is just Christian theocracy in this country.
Yeah.
And we cannot hammer that home enough. And so this is just yet another entry into the proof that that's true.
This is bigger than Donald Trump, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, and these people fighting him, the Democrats, do not understand that this is now about something bigger. It's about God, not because Trump is God. He's not the savior, but he is fighting to save America, and they are trying to destroy this nation that God has raised up for the gospel. So this is not just about Democrats against Republicans anymore. It's people fighting against the purpose of God for this nation. Right. When that happens, then God gets involved. And that's where we are.
There it is. It's not Democrats versus Republicans anymore. It's apparently Democrats versus God. Whose side are you going to be on, Frank?
The Democrats.
Yeah, decidedly so.
Yeah. Boy, this God guy, he's a trip.
Yeah.
He's just been sitting, you know, on the sidelines.
Right.
Just watching things happen, and now he's like, nope.
I'm getting in the game.
Gotta get in. This is fucking ridiculous.
And the guy that he is
out of control.
The guy that he has definitely chosen as his guy.
Yeah.
Is Donald fucking Trump.
It is wild. Absolutely wild.
Yep. Anyway, that's that little bit of fun. But let's have some other fun and let's talk to some of our people. We've been written into.
Cool.
Franklin. And so let's hear what some people have to say. This is from Emily, who says, "Hi, Frank and Dan. I just started listening to your podcast a few months ago, and after listening to today's episode, figured I could help clear a few things up for you. I'm a school psychologist." Do you remember, Frank, that you and I Like, we were talking about school counselors, and we had no idea what the fuck they do. We just know that they're better than what do they call them? Not clergy.
Oh, the chaplains?
Chaplains.
And I will say this. I skimmed this email, and I can guarantee you that our school quote-unquote counselor was not this.
Oh, okay.
I know for a fact that, like, this person was in no way qualified all to be working with teenagers. But anyway.
Okay. Well, that was, we've talked about Oklahoma. We had a discussion about that. Anyway, Emily goes on, I'm a school psychologist at an elementary school. We also have a school counselor. The school counselor does have a master's degree and does do actual counseling with specific children whose parents have given consent. And she does different social / emotional lessons in the classrooms. As a school psychologist, my job is to actually test students for learning and intellectual disabilities to see if they qualify for special education services, i.e. dyslexia, ADHD, developmental delays, autism, etc. In a nutshell, I give IQ tests for a living. I also help teachers make behavior plans for students that are struggling with behaviors in the classroom. That sounds like something that a, what was the word that you came up with before that I can't come up with for whatever reason?
Chaplain.
Why couldn't a chaplain do that? That sounds easy. Just a chaplain will determine that you've got, like, it's not ADHD. It's like attention deficit and not enough God disorder.
Not enough rod.
Right?
Disorder. Yeah.
That's right. Spare the God, spoil the child is part of the problem. All right. I totally lost my place. Anyway, I want to say thanks for the podcast. I'm an ex-Catholic working in a school that's in a heavily Mormon area. So although it can also be sad and scary sometimes, I look forward to my time once a week to listen to you guys so we can all laugh together about how dumb religious people can be. Thanks again. Emily, can you test me for things? I need to figure out what's going on. Are you around here? You said Mormon heavy. Are you in the Salt Lake area? What can you test me for? Something's not right.
Oh, anyway, my God.
I already have the ADHD diagnosis, so that I got that going for me.
There you go, Dan.
Look at you. Yeah, I know, right? Look at how special I am. Hi, Frank and Dan. This is... And this is from KNN, and I am going to give a quick little trigger warning that this talks about campus sexual assault. So if you don't like that, you might want to forward ahead a couple notches. But here we go. I've been a longtime listener, and I've heard this subject discussed many times on the podcast. I was listening to episode 639, Poop Birds. And you were talking about the Bible colleges / universities where they tend to shame the victims of assault instead of punishing the perpetrator.
Hmm.
Specifically, there was a case at Liberty University wherein a woman was raped, but it was not considered rape because partway into her assault, she gave up trying to resist and just gave in. This led the institution to call the interaction consensual, even though it was at knife point.
Hmm.
I myself went to Lancaster Bible College in Pennsylvania and had similar experiences, except thankfully mine weren't at knife point. My boyfriend at the time, who also went to LBC, would regularly coerce, pressure, manipulate, and sometimes physically force me into sex. I didn't have the knowledge at the time nor the words to explain that this was sexual assault. I confided in my roommate / RA the sexual aspect of our relationship, and she told the faculty, because snitches are cool in, this is me talking, this isn't KNN talking, but snitches are totally cool at religious schools.
Encouraged.
This resulted in us both being required to attend an individual quote unquote counseling sessions with same sex faculty members so we could discuss our sins and how to avoid them. Yes, the sin of having been coerced into unwanted sexual activity. Such a sin. We were also forbidden from leaving campus together without first asking permission, though no one physically monitored us. I was actually happy with that rule because it meant the assault stopped for a time. But eventually, our, quote, counseling fell by the wayside and things continued as before. During these counseling sessions, I was never asked if I was okay, if I wanted to be having sex, which I didn't, or whether I felt safe. Looking back now, I realize the school had a responsibility to help and protect me, but instead, all they did was shame me and then forget about me. My ex was never punished in any way other than having to attend his own counseling. KNN says, this isn't an experience I can freely talk about with many people because they don't understand how the religious aspect of the school is toxic and leads to shame and victim blaming, such that those who are being taken advantage of do not have a safe space where they can be heard and cared for. The only thing these schools care about is that a penis is going into a vagina, and that's a sin. Yep. There you go. It's not good at those places.
No.
When, yeah, it's not. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. So that's sorry that you went through that, KNN. And we love you. And yeah, that sucks. And I'm glad that you're out and sound like you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got some stuff figured out. I'm very happy for you on that front. Adam wrote into us to say, hello, Frank and Dan. I was listening to episode 645 where you mentioned the atheist street pirates.
Woohoo!
You remember these guys? They go around,
yeah,
snapping up all of the garbage that religious people.
Yeah, the religious visual, the visual litter, the yeah, signs and whatnot about Jesus saving and doing crap. Yeah. Yeah.
It just so happens that about a week before listening to the episode, says Adam, I joined the group myself. I've been driving semi-truck around the Midwest and keep seeing ever-increasing numbers of bright yellow Jesus Saves signs,
yep,
attached to wooden poles along the road.
Hmm.
These prompted me to look into the phenomenon and was intrigued to find this group mapping and collecting the booty wherever there was booty to be had. The signs are technically vandalism and are not illegal to remove from public property.
Hmm.
I heard you mention that it may be easier to just remove a sign when you see it, but you have to understand these signs are placed about 20 feet high in the air. Jeez. By someone with a custom-made sign holder / stapler.
Jesus.
The religious vandal even posted videos about his device on YouTube saying he was lifting Jesus' name on high.
Wow.
He's quite a literal fellow. Anyway, in order to remove these signs, you have to bring with you something called a doka pole. It's an extendable 30-foot pole with specialized hook on the end. I don't have one myself, but I like to note the coordinates of a sign as I do my trucking job, reporting it to the group in hopes that someone else will venture out and remove the eyesore.
That's awesome.
I love it. Good job. You are you're doing not the Lord's work. and that's good. Getting rid of some garbage. And finally, Chris wrote in just quickly to say an idea for repurposing those closed churches, because we've talked about that a number of times. You can save a little money anywhere those lowercase t's show up. You just need to add an LGB, or it could be the plus sign in the LGBTQ+, to create an inclusive center for the communities.
I love that.
Love that idea. Turn them all into queer resource centers. That would be and abortion clinics. Can we do that? Can that be well,
how does the T abortion? I guess there's
abortion. A, yeah, abortion. Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Do we have some folks to thank?
We do indeed, Dan. We have a new teacher by the name of Jay.
So woohoo!
Thank you for signing up and supporting the show. If you'd like to join Jay, you can do so. Go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com, and click on the support tab. And there's options there.
All we need to reach our goal is to get 200 more subscribers. 200 more patrons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just set this goal right now in my mind. But if we can get 200 more, that would be great. So won't you please
That's
consider
quite the goal, Dan.
Doing that.
Yeah.
I think all great. Y'all out there, that
so
would be wonderful.
We will be Thank counting you. Down from 200. I'll yeah. take note of that. I'll set up, yeah, I'll get a little scratch pad.
And, I love it. I'll make a poster board with a thermometer that we'll just keep. We're just gonna meet that goal eventually if we can just get there.
All right. So hit up our website, and as always, Dan, we have our top donor to thank, our Lord and Savior, Davis.
Woohoo! More show coming up. Well, Frank.
Dan.
You, as a young man,
mm-hmm.
went through the temple ceremony of the Mormon Church.
It is true.
Endowed.
Yeah.
With magic powers.
Yeah. And I had I went through the washing and anointing and had my garment put on me by an elderly man.
First, and, you had that elderly well, man great. Touch you in some very intimate ways.
Yeah.
you sound it's excited really, to talk about that part.
It's really shocking as a young Mormon. Around 18,
because you're not
years
prepared
old.
For this. They don't. They do nothing to
they
prepare.
They do a really
you.
Poor job. I mean, there technically is like this like temple preparedness class thing that you can go through. I did not go through it, and I highly doubt that beyond somebody just saying, you know, just prepare yourself spiritually. There's going to be some very special things happening. You know, there's some things that you know. You might not see coming. I don't know what they could possibly say, right? That could make.
But they could say someone's going to touch you in very intimate places.
Yeah, and by entering the temple, you are consenting to it or something,
right?
Like, whatever.
What they would say is what right now. If there were a Desnat Mormon apologist here to dispute us, what they would say is. You know, they do say right at the beginning that if you don't consent, if you don't want to do it, you should leave now.
So here's the deal about that. That comes way after the washing and anointing.
Oh, okay, right.
That's
okay,
good. Way after the fact, right?
Yeah. So by anyway. the time they say that, you've already consented to a bunch of shit that like you're in for a penny, in for a pound at that point.
Yeah. Might so anyway, well so that's rest. You get this underwear that you've seen your parents wearing, right?
If you're raised in the covenant,
yeah,
then yes, you've grown up with this underwear your whole life. You know that part's coming,
right?
That's the part you know is coming.
You don't really. I didn't know when or how. I honestly thought somebody was going to give me a little, you know, a packet of underwear. And say, you know, go back to the locker room and put it on.
Nope. And they didn't. They did not.
They did not. No, you don't. You don't get. You don't get to do that. You can't put on your own underwear. Come on.
Anyway. Don't be weird about this, Frank. It's perfectly normal. You've never put it on before. Somebody else needs to help you with it.
Yeah.
And anyway. And just so everyone understands, a man would do this for the fellas, and a lady person would do it for the women.
Correct. And so that's how you that's sort of getting the garment. And then you're supposed to wear it, right? You're supposed to
forever.
Later on in the temple ceremony itself, in the endowment session, there's some talk of the garment and covenants and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you're supposed to, the instructions essentially are that this is except for like athletic type activities, you probably should just wear it all the time, right?
Not just probably, Franklin. You covenant to wear it all of the time.
And it turns out people don't really like that. There's always been the problem with, like, there's like women rolling up the sleeves to like wear tops that maybe have more of a crop sleeve than,
I mean,
the garment
definitely
will
not. You're not going to get away with like a tank top or a, you know, a spaghetti strap or anything like that. It's going to be, there's going to be a sleeve.
It's going to be modest for sure. quote unquote modest.
And the bottoms go down to like
just like above the knee. Depending on the length of your leg. Imagine.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, if you had like shorter legs,
you might go down. Yeah. If you're a bit wider and not so tall,
you don't get to pick your inseam, right?
No. And so, you don't, presumably you're not allowed to like, are you allowed to alter them?
No.
If they don't fit well?
No, because there's markings in addition to everything. There's like a mark that's like right on the above your knee on the hem, remember right. Which the markings are just like these little stitched things, whatever. Anyway, that's kind of in the weeds. But so lately in the Mormon church, it has come to the attention of the old men that that run the whole thing, that there are these women who are getting on this thing called the internet. And
I've heard of that.
And
it's a series of tubes.
Somehow they're like, people watch them and they're popular. And so these these Mormon influencers, these mommy bloggers, basically.
And just sort of Mormon women in general, I think, largely are kind of rejecting. They have found that they do like that their yoga pants go on better if they're not wearing the temple garment.
Well, and that's the out. That's the famous out, is that if you're engaged in athletic activity, then you don't have to wear your garment. Well, presumably, if you're wearing if you're wearing yoga plant pants, aren't you engaging in some sort of?
And then after your yoga session, if you happen to like go the rest of your day doing other stuff in the same yoga pants, well, who could argue with that?
Right. And so it's
if your athletic activity is shopping at, you know, at the grocery store.
Well, for some people, yeah. But anyway, so the old men have gotten upset about this. There was a big to do. They gave a bunch of talks this last general conference. We sort of previewed that. You knew that this was coming, Dan. And
I'm very tuned in that way.
And sure enough, there were lots of talks, and it got the Mormons really talking about this. So much so that one of the columnists for the Salt Lake Tribune, who turns out to be Mormon, he chimed in about how. Let's see, the heading for his, or the title for his article is the wearing or not wearing of LDS garments is personal and should stay that way. This crackdown on underwear seems like overkill is the subtitle.
Ooh.
And he kind of goes through the whole thing, and he's just like, first of all, he said he would laugh at his bishop if he actually does ask him if he wears his garments all the time.
That doesn't seem like it would go over well.
Depending on the bishop,
I'm guessing he's got a pretty chill bishop. If
he says
that
he's friends with the bishop, but like you know, I mean, come on. But and then he was like, and I think he said something about like he's not sure what his wife would say, but he's not ruling out that she would just tell him to mind his own business. And I kind of just thought that it was going to die out, and then within the last day or two, another opinion piece hit the Tribune, this time by a millennial woman. She takes some interesting stances. She talks about sort of the lessons learned growing up in the church. We're sort of really heavy on the body shaming, right?
Yeah.
And that whenever she heard talk about the garments, it was about modesty and covering your body, and her, the message that she was getting was that your body is bad and needs to be covered. And so she's generally right. had a very
specifically
negative...
women. Men's bodies are fine. Yeah. But women's bodies are.
I mean, I think are... that message can hit men too, you know, to a certain extent of
yeah,
your
but
bodies need
different.
To be covered. It does hit different. Of course it does. And then she talks about, she actually brings up bodily autonomy, which I thought was really interesting in this context, because I doubt she means she believes completely in bodily autonomy, but anyway,
I don't know. She seems pretty like fully liberal.
She
I'm
does
guessing,
seem a little,
I'm guessing she does. Liberal. She believes,
in, but nonetheless, she brings in that language, right? And talking about. Yeah. Choosing what to wear and whatnot.
Yeah.
And any it's been an interesting pushback. The Mormon general population, and I'm not on social media, so I'm not seeing any of that. But it feels like the normies, the Mormon normies are just like
the Mormie normies?
The Mormie normies they're just a little uneasy. They're a little bothered
yeah.
that the church would lean in on this, which to my mind is what the fuck? Of course the church is these old guys. Of course they're leaning in.
Yeah. Have you,
this has always been their business. Right?
Have you met your church before? Cause I've met them yeah. and that's what they do.
Yeah.
Here's the thing here's what I think is going on. And sort of this is the conundrum here. The Mormon church chose a thing. Lots of religions choose a thing that is like sort of a control mechanism, but also a bit of what is called costly signaling or virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm.
To just indicate your commitment to the group. To say I'm part of the in group, I'm committed to it. You know, this is we're talking about. You know, Orthodox Jews have some very strong costly signaling things. You know, they've got kippahs, and they've got you know all the various things that we sort of associate with the ultra Orthodox, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, even sort of less. Ultra Orthodox, you know, the kippah is the yarmulke is a very visible bit of costly signaling that they yeah. do to sort of,
I mean, yeah,
indicate their commitment to their tribe.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, hijabs are the same. There's lots of these things. Underwear was a dumb choice. The Mormons just, you know, somebody made a snap judgment early on. And it was a bad choice. They chose badly when they, you know, other groups are like, it's hats. Oh, it's scarves. Yeah. Oh, it's
everything you know, had been taken, Dan. What else was left?
It's jewelry of various sorts or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Mormons are like, ah, we'll do underwear. I know. And it's a bad choice. A, because they chose bad underwear. It was just nobody's going to like it. It's right. just bad all around.
Well, it was originally it was like Yosemite Sam, like
it was a union suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Originally it was even worse. They've made it better, but not better enough.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the millennial woman who wrote this article points this out. Nobody asked women. What it should be at all. Nobody, like, there's a whole bunch of things that women face, you know.
Is she surprised? Did she grow up in that church?
Right? Like, right? Yeah, but definitely nobody asked a single woman about, like, what this should be made of or how it should look or how it should fit or any of that sort of thing. And then they chose a thing that can't be seen.
Yeah.
When it's done correctly, cannot be seen.
So now, where's the costly part of this?
Right, exactly.
And the signaling part of this, right?
Yeah.
It might be costly, but it's not signaling anything,
They chose so fucking badly. Everything about their dumb costly signaling thing was wrong. And now they're just trying to make it work. They're trying to fix a toaster with a sledgehammer and hoping that they'll make it go again.
Well, and because it's not signaling, people are like, they're not getting that value as members.
Well, what's amazing
is
that
the thing that would set them apart, right? The thing that would make them, that they would have to steel themselves for, like going out in public. Like, imagine if you had to wear the garment on top of your clothes, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, that would be a thing. That would be better.
Then you're like the Mennonites or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the other funny thing is that, like, while it's not guaranteed at all, you could go your whole life and have it never be a signal that you're wearing garments. You can definitely signal that you're not wearing garments.
Sure.
And that's what they're pissed off about.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So there you go. And believe me, also not for nothing, I guess we should point out that, like, Mormons do see there.
They know this. Yeah.
You can notice, you can tell when somebody, like, not all the time, but you can frequently tell when someone is or isn't wearing garments. Like, when you know the signs, you know what to look for.
With the men, it's always like the scoop neck thing, right?
Right.
But then they started doing crew necks and little V-neck t-shirts as well.
Yeah. But if you don't see a shirt under their shirt, you know.
Right. I mean, the real tell is in the middle of summer.
Yes.
Some guy wearing a t-shirt with a white t-shirt underneath.
Right.
It's like, there's the Mormon.
And also shorts and shorter, like, knee length skirts that if they bring their knee up far enough, you'll catch a glimpse of, or whatever.
Yep.
You'll see it. Well, there you go. The costly signaling is costing too much, apparently. And the people don't want to do it anymore. Shocking. Shocking that the Mormons don't want to wear the dumbest underwear that has ever been invented. Although, just as a quick quick side note, I was reading through the comments section on that article, and a couple of women were like, "Actually, I hated the tops, but I really liked the bottoms, and I've never found underwear that I liked as much since."
Really?
So there you go.
That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah, that was not the case for at least Andrea, who I checked with. So. So there you go. You can't. It's murder if you want to wear anything tight over time.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you would like to comment on whatever underwear you're wearing or anything else, you can feel free to write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. We'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click that like button.
And if you'd like to join one of our members-only lounges, you can do so. Go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/members-only.
Thanks so much to the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their fine music.
And thanks to Gordon Johnston for the use of his music.
And thanks to all y'all for tuning in. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.